The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from Information Technology Services, is Professor Chuck Hokett.
Hey there.
What's up?
We're talking tigers.
I saw your old English D and sayonara to Prince.
That's right. Yes. Adios, amigo.
Yeah, the World Series is only a few weeks old.
That's right.
It is true. You know, I grew up in a world where Cecil Fielder was the man I saw playing first base.
Yep. Sure. And
when I saw him kind of go head case, I wonder whether or not we made the right choice to that again.
That's right.
We'll leave that for some other time.
Time will tell, right?
Yes, yes. That's right. Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy is big into baseball. She's been following all the prospects.
Baseball? What's that?
She knows all the salary arbitration that's going on right now.
She's so excited. She's cross-eyed at this moment.
Look at the thrill on her face.
That is correct. Tell everyone about this book that Dan brought you.
It's actually a book that I had loaned to Kathy called Feminist Philosophies, and I'm sure I loaned it to her when she was doing History of American Women. And Dan has been looking at some of Kathy's things that her sister had after Kathy passed and grabbed this for me because he's awesome and he's magic.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool
stuff.
And he used to have hair.
I still have hair.
Poor Dan, Professor Dan Maggio of the First Organization. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. Thanks, Matt.
How's it curling?
Good.
Good.
Actually, we're doing pretty well. Good ice.
You going to win like a trophy?
We have different leagues, so Tuesday league, a Thursday league, and Sunday. So there's a trophy for Tuesday and a trophy for Thursday,
So
we're not going to win, but we'll do our best.
That's cool. I appreciate the fact that you're being level-headed about everything that's going on with the curling. Going all the way across the table, gesticulating wildly, is Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
No, gesticulating meaningfully.
Oh,
wildly.
Meaningfully. Wildly
in
or meaningfully, we'll take
it. It's another form of language.
It is true. That is true.
I thought he was speaking in Italian.
Yeah, I was about to say, some people call it
Italian. I was gesticulating in Italian.
Yes.
Well, actually Sicilian. But.
Well, that's
An Italian holding a briefcase is half crippled for communication. That's what they say. I'm so glad we thought of the same joke, Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
I'm honorary Italian, right?
Yeah.
This week.
Sure, so. That'd be fun.
We'll blame it on Marco Polo.
Sounds good to me. How are things downtown, Dave?
Hectic. I just got here, so just catching my breath.
I know. That's thinking, like, there's a show where Dave's not here? That
fat chance. My attendance record's still intact. I don't plan on losing it.
Unbelievable. Good.
This is 6 years and still running.
And coming in from the sly, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies. How are you doing, Jason?
Designated hitter.
Finally making it to a show for the first time in 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you've been a little bit busy. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Is that your Emmy that I see peeking out from your lapel?
Oh, it's just a pin that says I belong to the organization. I haven't won one yet. So.
All right.
That's amazing.
Cool.
Yes.
What do you have there?
Is that this is just my 10-year pin, you know, with the quarter of a carat ruby.
I forgot to.
Wow. I think the ones that have the red and blue enamel that say leadership and service in our communities are actually nicer pins.
They are nice. I actually have that on my lab coat so that I, I'm not joking.
You know what I was thinking, Matt? You could take your 5-year pin and your 10-year pin and have almost matching earrings. Mm-hmm.
You know what the issue is? They don't give the 5-year pins anymore.
No,
so
they don't. I think I've got one lying around somewhere.
That's an heirloom.
Hey, if you don't go to the Christmas party, they don't send you.
That is
true. No, it's true.
That is true.
You have to go beg for it.
Jim, I will have to borrow that before I go earring style. We're going to make one bit of a leapfrog to introduce Professor Diane Manica from Education real quick.
I love leapfrogging around.
You like
Thank
leapfrogging
you so
around?
Much.
Just not with unicorns.
Don't do that.
Or rhinoceri.
How are things going, Diane?
Well, things are going very well. Busy, busy, busy. All of a sudden, students realize they need to see me before they register.
Those meddling kids.
Oh my. I tell you.
I got to see my advisor before I can go.
It's also, I was certain you were going to say, it's this time of term they realize they're going to be graded in a couple weeks, and then suddenly the points start mattering.
No, it's time think they need to start coming to class.
Yeah, that is also true.
Little late.
Let's see what the impression on class attendance is with our special guest panelist this week, Professor Greg Grobus from theater. We're glad to have you here, Greg.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Excellent. We are anxious to see how your background adds to the questions we're going to take at the panel, and how you can find different ways to make fun of us all, like we do with each other every week on the show.
Make fun of us? I thought it was a fact.
Well, fun fact.
That's a matter of interpretation.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Do you feel a little pressure, Greg?
I do. The pressure's on.
No pressure at all. And honestly, I would let you plug the show, but the problem is we record, and then it shows up in a couple weeks. But we're looking forward to actually in real time
this weekend. You're directing a play tonight, and you're here this afternoon.
It is a big deal.
That's impressive.
It's a big deal.
What are you, Brave?
My arm was twisted.
Excellent.
Okay.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you can win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Please don't slash the professors. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions to us old-fashioned. USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our heroes, we had one question left. One question left from our new listener, Amber Hubley. And for the record, that actually is a little bit of a lie. She's been listening to us for a long time, but finally mustered the gumption to send us questions from San Diego, California. Bright and sunny. We had one more left. We had just done what was the last of the 10 plagues upon Egypt. But number 15 was, what was Peter, Paul, and Mary's only number one song, and who wrote that song?
I Had a Hammer.
Nope. That's
Leaving
not
on a Jet Plane.
It's Leaving on a Jet Plane, written by very, very famous songwriter and performer, died in a plane crash.
Roy Orbison?
Nope.
James Taylor?
No, he's still alive for the record.
No, just his career died in a plane crash.
Wait, he wrote about a plane crash in a different song, my bad.
For a second there, I thought when you left the room, you had your phone in hand, you're like, I've got some news,
didn't
guys.
Didn't the Mamas and the Papas cover this, too?
Possibly.
Let me think.
But it wasn't any Mama or Papa.
So, not the usual suspects, Buddy Holly.
Not Frankie Valens.
Nope.
Oh, I was thinking of Buddy Holly, not Roy.
John Denver.
John Denver is the correct
answer. Oh, yeah, really? That's right.
He did. I remember that.
Ultra
yeah,
light.
Absolutely.
Oh. He had some good songs, though.
Oh. He did. He
the hamster died.
All I can think about when I think of John Denver, because I got to say, I was raised on his Christmas albums, they're quite beautiful, is that sadly Hallmark made a very, very corny ornament of him strumming his guitar. You press the button and his hand moves and he sings. Oh. It's kind of a creep out moment, and that's going to stick with me for a long time, unfortunately. So, dear profs, seeing as my 80% bar gets shattered like cheap dinnerware every time I've sent in...
Hey,
I'd like,
to think I can request 90% this time around. I'm also confident the profs can step up to the challenge and have fun along the way. I think you are right. Stay warm. Sincerely, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington. A very common question sender. Let's see what we can do with these. Looks
a
like it's a hodgepodge.
Questions
a frequent.
Not common.
Yeah. She is not common at all. Neither commoner nor, it's anyway. Going back to my medieval. Notch, peak, shank. They're all three different kinds of something. What?
Knots.
Nope. Although that's
cuts
what I
meat?
Thought too. Not cuts of meat. That's a great answer
golf
too.
Golf swings?
No. Golf
shanks.
Shake. Yeah.
Shake.
Slice.
Features on a mountain? Would it be something
they are
like
features of something.
On a
they
house siding?
A roof?
Nope. They're features of something a little more personal than a house.
A face?
Ooh. A nose.
No, it's an article. It's a quality of some kinds of clothing that we're talking about
boots.
Here. Nope.
Above or below the waist?
Above the waist.
Okay. Shirt.
I'm getting closer
collars?
With shirts.
Collars.
Collars. Yeah, they're lapels actually.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Notch, peak, and shank lapels. So what's this? Is this notch?
A peak is what Count Dracula wore.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. And you mean Bela Lugosi, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Who is on the U.S. $1,000 bill? Not in circulation.
Woodrow Wilson?
Let me check first.
No, that's $1,000.
Let me check my plate.
Let me check my wallet.
Grant?
It's not Grant.
No. He's on the
Salmon 50. P. Chase?
Salmon P. Chase is actually on the $10,000 bill.
Woodrow Wilson's on the $100,000.
Franklin's
On the
100, right? Or the 50.
Is it a president or a...
It is a presidente. The only non-president on money, I think, is Benjamin Franklin.
No, Chase.
You just said Chase.
Salmon P.
Chase. And then Chase, but they never circulated that bill, so that's true.
Jim's got a president.
Monroe?
Think.
It's not Monroe.
$1,000 bill.
Nope. Let's just say that on The Simpsons once, Abe Simpson.
Grover Cleveland again?
Yes. Grandpa Simpson remarked that this president may or may not have spanked him as a child on two non-consecutive occasions. So there you go.
Devil. Yes, absolutely.
What magazine has the slogan, free enterprise with every copy?
The Economist.
There's this free mind.
The Economist is what it is. Yes, absolutely. Oh, wow. Free enterprise with every copy.
Yeah, but what's it cost?
Oh. Yeah, well,
£12 per issue.
Gotcha.
£12. It's like we're selling James Michener or something. Sold by the pound. What James Bond movie featured the line, "Miss Anders, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you with your clothes on"?
Everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, that pretty much is every movie.
It's every one of them.
Miss Anders.
Dr. No?
It's not Dr. No.
Jim said Goldfinger.
I know it is not Goldfinger.
Octopussy?
Nope.
Wasn't she M's secretary?
No,
M's secretary.
Money Penny, right.
Miss Anders.
But it's got to be one of the Connor Thunderball.
You're in the right zone. I can tell you that much. I could say it's not Dr. No. I could say one word I think that might tip it off. What if I said Salamanca?
Gesundheit.
How about another word?
How about Christopher Lee? As Salamanca.
The man with the golden gun.
I thought somebody already said that.
I'm sorry, I don't think anybody said
it. Goldfinger.
I said Goldfinger.
No. In what novel would one find the character Charlotte Cavatica? Charlotte Cavatica.
That sounds weird.
It is a little
Charlotte's familiar. Web.
It's Charlotte's Web. Yeah, that's Charlotte's name.
Charlotte had a last name?
Yeah, Wed.
I'm sorry. Tabica, Cavatica. That's maiden sort of name? Interesting. On the internet, what are the top 10 most used search engines? Let's try to do this one step at a time.
Google
is number one.
Explorer.
Bing is number three.
Yahoo's
number two.
Ask me.
Ask.com is number five.
Oh, yeah.
Dogpile?
Dogpile is number eight.
I've used that one forever.
Chrome?
Yeah. That's a browser.
That's a browser. Who else? Alta Vista?
Nope. Mm-hmm. They're gone.
Darn. Okay.
AOL? Search.
AOL is actually number four, yes.
Who? MSN?
Whoa. It's number four.
Is MSN one?
When was this written?
Nope, not MSN.
What about Mozilla?
That's technically a browser. I think there may be only two left here that folks would recommend. I think that the rest of them are a little more popular outside of Western culture of the United States. Number 10 is Web Crawler. I know they have a spider as a logo. Lycos is one of the long-timers. But I've never heard of Blecko with E-K-K-O at the end of the word.
No, hadn't heard of that.
Or mywebsearch.com. I've never heard that either. Okay. Blecko.
And what are the other
downloaded
ones?
That's all 10.
Google, Yahoo, Bing, AOL, Ask, My Web Search, Blecko, Lycos, Dogpile, Web Crawler. Interesting.
Okay.
Whatever happened to Northern Light? That was my favorite.
And you use Dogpile?
I've used it.
Yeah.
Tell you what you guys consider the Dogpile, we're going to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. From the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
See, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
Professor Arthur Beer from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts was a regular on Ask the Professor from 1988 to 1999. Arthur still makes guest appearances on the show from time to time, and he always seems to come up with a different character voice when greeting the listeners at the start of the show.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
How do you do?
Now, Arthur wasn't the only Ask the Professor panelist known for his impersonations. You see, one day the late Professor George Pickering was a little tardy in getting to the studio, so somebody had to at least try to fill in for him.
On my right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin. Aren't you going to introduce George?
Oh, yes. I forgot about George.
How could you ever?
I don't know. George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here. As always.
As always, yeah. Okay. Thank you for filling in for George, yes. On Kathy's right, also from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And on Greg's right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, Edwin.
Hello, Arthur. And
we are entering the room right now
from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department.
He's already been introduced.
Professor George Pickering.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always. Did I miss something?
Not really.
Nothing at all.
And we are back with some fantastic questions from our frequent question provider, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington. Thanks so much, Beverly. We're going to continue on with these and see what we can do. As far as I'm concerned, we've got every single one of them right. So, sorry. Looks like we're going to shatter your 90% passing grade this time, too. What presidential first couple was called by the Secret Service Searchlight and Starlight? Think of whatever you think the worst possible connection between those words and actual people is, and then you'll get it right in the first shot.
Searchlight.
Searchlight.
Is it the Nixons?
Yes. Oh, who is the...
How did you deduce that?
She was thinking the worst.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the couple for whom those names are just unbelievably inappropriate.
Now, who is who, though?
Especially Starlight.
I'm guessing Searchlight was Richard. I don't know.
Starlight would have been Pat.
More like Nightlight.
The Obamas are all R's, right? His is Renegade. And
is it really?
One of the daughters is Rosebud, or maybe that's Michelle's. They're all R names, though, I think.
I just remember that H.W. Bush, I believe, was Traveler, and I just found that name to be so blah. It just reminds me of him.
How'd these names come up?
He didn't travel that much, too, comparatively, right?
I don't know if there's any... I mean, they need it on the day of inauguration. They use the code word, so it's not like it's because of something they do. It's more like, Jason, we're just going to call you Quinn from now on. You know, I mean,
who thinks those names up?
That's a good question. That's a great question. We would love questions about the Secret Service if you want to write them.
The candidates can make suggestions or something, but
really,
in the end, I think the Secret Service.
Yeah, I think the Kennedys were all L's.
The head of the detail Johnsons gets were to V's. Decide.
Okay. I bet Obama likes Renegade then. That sounds kind of badass. It's like a video game or something.
That's it. We all need codenames for the show.
That's right.
Professor Renegade over here.
Professor Renegade over there.
It's better than like Reject.
that's true.
We had a cat named Reject one time. It clearly had been.
Oh man.
You should have renamed him Accepted. Since you did.
Well, if you'd known Reject.
My gosh. Name the three NHL team names, not the locations, the team names that do not end with the letter S.
Avalanche.
The Avalanche.
Lightning.
Lightning. And...
Maple Leafs A.
No.
Maple Leafs A.
Red Wing.
Red Wing, no.
Minnesota Wild.
The Wild is the last one.
Absolutely. They're new.
Well done.
Ish.
Greg, Dave is originally from Medicine Hat, so he's our Canadian trivia ringer. He knows everything about everything.
I do?
Yes, you do.
Canadiana, eh?
Canadiana.
Hey, wait a minute. Mr. King of Christmas Carols, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See if we get that show going.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yep. Yeah. Coming from the lady who knows every Beatles. Again?
Right up on the house.
What disease in ancient times was known as the grip?
Flu.
The flu, yes, absolutely.
Why the name of the grip?
The grip.
Because you were in your lungs, the grip of misery, no doubt.
And you survived, which is one of the worst things that can happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
although
loosening.
We had a weird spelling. It was G-R-I-P-P-E.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, G-R-I-P-P-E.
Really? Okay. I'm thinking...
The grip, hey.
I see.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the grip. You got to hang on tight or something.
Some funky old English thing. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking like some steering wheel or something.
Okay, this is going to be very interesting, and I think it's going to get a little bit out of control, but that's when we have the most fun.
Oh, sure.
Let's go. All right.
Ring it, renegade.
We're talking about the relation of this question to Detroit as your first example. What we need are the top 10 most populous U.S. cities that lie directly on the Great Lakes, meaning that Detroit doesn't count because it's on the Strait.
Chicago, Milwaukee,
Cleveland,
Erie. Buffalo.
Cleveland is not on the list.
It's not?
It's not.
Wow, Cleveland.
Top 10 Buffalo? In size?
Buffalo is on the list. On the Buffalo, Great. Chicago, Milwaukee is on what I have so lakes. Far. On the lakes.
Cleveland's not on the list.
Well, Toronto.
This is U.S. City.
Oh, U.S. Great Lakes. Sorry, we haven't been to the next yet.
What about?
No. There's got to be someplace else in New York. Niagara?
Grand Rapids? No, Grand Rapids.
Toledo?
No,
it's Toledo. Yeah. Toledo. Yep. No, that's smaller than Cleveland.
Toledo's on the list.
Yeah, it's got to be. I'm sorry. I don't fact check.
Is Erie on the list?
Erie's on the list.
There's
something wrong because Cleveland's
bigger than either of those.
Well, is Cleveland on a bay?
No, it's on the lake.
It's on the lake.
If you drive through Cleveland, you actually can see the lake.
There's a river there, though.
If it's a geographical size,
empties into the lake at Cleveland.
It's on the lake. I mean, it's literally
directly. Is italicized. Yeah, that's all I've got here.
All right, somebody
how about
map.
You which think some pretty far north in Minnesota? What cities come to
Duluth?
Mind? Duluth is on the list.
Duluth, yeah, where they live.
Western Michigan.
What about
how about a city same name as if you take Main Street? As far as it goes north, you're going to end up in the same city around here.
Rochester.
Rochester.
New York.
And
have to be another New York one.
Is it another New York one?
No, is there another New York one? No, it doesn't have another New York one. No, where the Packers play?
Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay.
And,
well, we're getting pretty small here.
Where the Jacksons are from.
Gary.
Good old Gary. All I got left at this point without that many good clues to give is Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Racine as well. And
they're not big at all.
Yeah, no. Cleveland seems like it's missing from the list, but the rest I guess I would believe, starting
Racine's
with Chicago.
About three streets.
Yeah.
Three streets?
It's not big.
You've been there before.
Mm-hmm. I've driven through it.
Oh, okay.
And blinked and missed it.
Okay. So. Mm. There is an official state soft drink. Just to let you know, Beverly, we call it pop.
Who comes up with these things?
Of Maine. What is the state soft drink of Maine?
Oh, like clam juice or something?
Oh. Stephen King's presents the state soft drink of Maine. No, actually, I believe this is a nostalgic brand. Almost primarily, because I've had it before, because of the logo of the beverage. And I think you've seen it a few times around here. It's not popular.
Logo?
You can't buy it everywhere around
Town
here, but it's out there.
Can't be that.
Nope. Starts with an M. And I believe that the image is of a tiny, tiny little elf.
Oh, Moxie.
Moxie is what it's called.
Yeah. Little gnome.
Yeah. What does little it taste like?
Like medicine, if I remember right. I think I'm
kind of like Southern Comfort tastes like cough medicine.
It tastes more like Southern Comforter.
You know that's what people say when we serve them Verners, right? They say it tastes like medicine.
I don't know.
Verners or Diet Verners, man, Matt?
I'm a straight-up Verners guy.
I like them both, actually.
Both are fine, but...
They're different, but I like them both.
Verners and vanilla ice cream. What more do you want out of them?
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Ooh, there you go.
In what movie does Arnold Schwarzenegger team up with Jim Belushi and fight Russian drug smugglers? This is clearly
Red
an
Heat.
Afternoon of hitting the random button on
Red
Wikipedia.
Heat.
It is Red Heat, absolutely. This is how do we
Sounds
get from
cool.
Moxie to Red Heat?
Red Heat.
This is so great.
It's all right.
I love the random button on Wikipedia.
It's not shown during Christmas, so it can't possibly be that good. So.
In the 2002 edition of Milton Bradley's The Game of Life, there are 9 career options. Mm. They're listed here in semi-alphabetical order. Let's see if you can get this. This is really amusing because it's only 10 years old. The Game of Life is updated about once or twice every decade so that it stays up to par. You know,
you're going to be a doctor.
A lawyer. Teacher.
Teacher. Who wants to be that?
I have doctor, teacher, lawyer is not one of the choices.
Oh, systems analyst.
Fireman.
Engineer.
Nurse.
Architect.
Nurse.
Hold on, I don't have nurse, I don't have engineer, I don't have architect.
What?
Unemployed?
Homeless person.
Vagrant.
Wait, we have banker?
Fireman?
I'll tell you what, I'm giving you accountant
nurse?
For banker.
Oh.
Nurse
policeman.
Is not one of the choices.
Hmm.
Let's go down the list here.
Farmer.
If you were putting together
farmer.
A resume, farmer is not one of the choices. If you're putting together a resume and you were Prince Fielder, you would say you are a...
Baseball
player.
Chubby.
An athlete.
Oh, an athlete.
What, chubby doesn't
that
count?
That's not a good choice with him.
Is
Rock not right now.
Yeah, really.
There are times.
He's removed.
How about entertainer?
There was, entertainer is one. And something else that I...
entertain you.
Something else that I think that Professor Grobus is on the list. Starts with an A.
Actor.
Not an actor, but a...
Actress?
Dress?
An artist.
And I'm going to give this one to Jason because he basically skirted the whole issue. But again,
they change these to reflect the modern times. The next one on the list is computer consultant. And since we're really all around that, basically,
those are
something
nine options, computers? Career options.
We have two more. What would you say the position is of the person who sadly runs up to you when you enter a department store and starts accosting you?
A greeter?
Not a greeter.
Walmart. An annoyance?
The salesperson.
Okay. Salesperson. One of the choices. And last but most certainly not least.
I think social agitator ought to be one.
What about chef?
Chef is not one of the choices. The last choice would be, let's see here. Oh, okay, so we know Professor McKinnon has just taken over as co-chair of the new mayor's transition team.
Politician.
He used to be a
police officer.
Yes.
I mentioned that one earlier.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim.
I said policeman, should have said.
Well, okay. For the record, ladies and gentlemen, athlete, artist, teacher, doctor, computer consultant, salesperson, accountant, entertainer, police officer.
This
that was just
someone
10 years
of limited
ago.
Imagination who made up this list.
Yeah. You guys all jumped on lawyer and is nowhere to be found here. This form of communication came to an end in Alaska circa 1963. What was it?
Sled dog
mail delivery. You got it.
That's why I have not been getting mail.
But you're so smart.
On the other side, I've got some letters from the early 60s. Oh,
those gosh. Questions to the show from Anchorage just haven't gotten here yet.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. Mail delivery by dog sled. It makes perfect sense, right?
Snail mail.
It's right at the beginning of the internet in one way, shape, or form.
And the snowmobile.
And computer consulting, right. What is the name of the company that is the world's largest maker of casino gambling equipment? Oh. Any ideas?
Acme.
Not Acme.
Loseyourmoney.com.
What was it like a Brunswick? Is it like a games maker? Like a Parker
it is,
Brothers?
It is like a games maker, but it is well known, I think, from my generation for making arcade games.
Bally.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep.
Pinball.
Absolutely.
Oh, pinball machines.
Yes. Absolutely.
My favorite.
I'm entranced by, I think I've mentioned this before on the air, the gambling column in the Free Press, because Mark Pilarski is actually a former Detroiter who travels all around the United States and the world to go to different casinos, and the number of people who write in not understanding simple probability makes me want to cry. Well, you know, I was on a hot streak and then I lost. Like, why did that happen? I should have won again, right? I don't understand why people don't understand.
I've even taught baby probability in introduction to logic.
Don't call it baby probability.
Well, no, I actually don't let them do the math. I actually just want the
what are the chances?
Right?
Sure, sure. And much like that, we'll come to an end. We need to say goodbye now, Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Oldjar.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio. Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Grobus.
Adieu.
Professor Manica.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies at the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Adam Winbigler, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.